Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and I'm super excited to dive into this episode with you. Before we get started, there's one thing that I always get questions on is what kind of hydration gear do I need to run an ultra? Do I need soft flasks? Do I need handhelds? Do I need bladders? I always say it depends on the race that you're running. If you're running a really fast race, then I would wear a handheld. If you are running a really long race or a race where you're going to go a little slower, then using a bladder or soft flasks with a pack is going to be the way to go. But regardless of which hydration apparatus you're using in your training or your racing, there is one brand of hydration equipment that I've been using in my training extensively when it comes to handhelds and soft flasks and bladders that has just been so awesome and very, very reliable. Because here's the reality, I've tried many hydration products and sometimes they break, they leak, they're not great out there, and I've never had any of the problems with the products from Hydropack. Now, Hydropack is a company that designs handhelds, bladders, soft flasks, you name it when it comes to hydration things. They even have one of my favorite handhelds because they have one that actually straps to your hand without you needing to grip it. It's their new Sky Flask and it is absolutely incredible. And they also have the best soft flasks in the game. If you've ever used Salomon's running vest and the soft flasks that come with that vest, that's actually created by Hydropack, and they make their own soft flasks as well, which can fit into any type of pack that you are using. So if you're using a Nathan pack or if you're using a Salomon pack, they're going to be able to fit into there as well. So they're very versatile, and the bladder is the same way as well. These products, they don't leak, they're very reliable, they're durable, and they are also super comfortable to hold in your hand if you're using the handheld, and also they're very light and they don't slosh around as much as any other products as well. So when it comes to hydration equipment, Hydropack is the go-to. Plus, they even have filters too. So for if you're on a long hiking trip or maybe on a long run where you're going to need to filter water, they have a filter where you can actually screw it on to your soft flask or your handheld, scoop up some water, and drink directly out of there. And it will filter all the bad stuff out of there so you can have reliable water. So as you can see, the products by Hydropack are so amazing. And because they are so amazing, I want to give you a 20% discount off of any of Hydropack's products by using the code EverydayUltra20 by going to the link in the show notes, or you can go directly to hydropack.com, which is HYDRAPAK.com, and use code EverydayUltra20 at checkout for 20% off your order. And that's on anything, soft flasks, handhelds, bladders, you name it, you got it on there. So that's Everyday Ultra 20 at checkout for 20% off your order at hydropack.com. You can use the link in the show notes or go to hydropack.com to get your discount. All right, everybody, that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and let's get into the episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and let me tell you, this is such an awesome episode as we are talking with Michael Versteeg. Now, if you don't know who Michael Versteeg is, he is known as an Arizona legend and one of the legends in ultra running. He has won the inaugural year of the Cocodona 250. He had, at one point, the supported fastest known time for the Arizona Trail, and he has been on the podium and has won multiple ultra races. But what has been super cool is he has been this amazing figure in the ultra running world that is known for his mystique and known for his elusive character that everybody knows and loves in the ultra world itself. And he's also a Satisfy pro athlete as well, and just an awesome dude all around. Now, in this episode, we talk with Michael Versteeg, and we dive into his 100-mile race that he recently put on, started to put on, I should say, the Saddles 100. Last year, 2023, was the inaugural year. He's doing it again this year. And last year, the day before the race, I actually sat down with Michael to talk about the Saddles 100, all about the background. And we also dive into a little bit of his personal life as well. So this is a super exciting episode. This episode was actually shot in conjunction for a documentary that's going to be coming out about Saddles 100 later this year. By my friends Ethan and David, and so I'll be shouting out that documentary once it out, but this is the full interview behind the scenes and all about the Saddles 100, all about Michael Versteeg, and just an all-around fun conversation for anyone who's interested in the race or want to know what it's like to think about a race or what makes just running in Prescott, Arizona so great from the man himself, Michael Versteeg. All right, let's dive into the episode with the legend himself, Michael Versteeg.
Well, Michael Versteeg, race director, Arizona legend, ultra runner, adventurer, musician. So awesome to be chatting with you. I think this race has gotten a lot of buzz and hype, and it's so exciting to see us all together. But talk to me about, before we dive into the race and everything, talk to me about the town and the city of Prescott, right? Because we were kind of talking beforehand, this has been a place in Arizona that's kind of like this secret gem. And it's so cool to see so many people from all around coming here. So tell me about your connection to the area, why it's so special. And for someone who's never heard of Prescott, like, what's the allure for it that brings this area together?
Yeah, I grew up here. So, you know, I went to school here. I've seen Prescott go through a lot of different phases and a lot of different things, for better or for worse. And, it feels good to be like back living here and back doing, you know, bringing better events than I think this town has seen over the last 10, 15 years, like more outdoorsy and like sort of like low impact sustainable events versus, again, like what this town usually gravitates towards lately. But yeah, it's a cool place. It's like, you know, the equestrian horse culture here has always been a thing. I mean, you go downtown, you get kind of inundated with that sort of kitschy Western thing, mm-hmm. you know, which I've always like sort of, you know, growing up here, you sort of like push back on that a little bit, but you also, you know, as much as we like to pretend like we're all individuals and like, you know, super, it's like we're all products of our upbringing and our environment. And it's like, I'm very much a product of Prescott and sort of that like cowboy culture mixed with the like Prescott College, like dirtbag hippie kind of guy. And yeah, so it's like, it just feels good to like kind of bring a cool event to town. And I think the name Saddles is like pretty good for that too. Like, you know, just like the geographical term Saddles, which is essentially what the route is just running saddle to saddle, but also like, again, not pushing back too hard, but sort of leaning into the Western thing, and people can kind of take it however they want, you know, it's like, and yeah. So I don't know. It's, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome, man. I love the connection of the name too, like for the saddles, for the Western thing, and also like the actual course itself. It like speaks a lot to the race.
Yeah, and I mean, it's potential too. Like in years to come, we might open up a mountain bike option.
So oh, nice.
It's like, you know, it's what you call a seat on a mountain bike is a saddle. So it's like.
So many meanings. That's yeah, so cool. Like, That's amazing. And for someone who hasn't like run on these trails before, like why are they so special? What's super cool, like you've done, you know, Cocodona, you've raced like all the 3 years, right? The first year winning it, it goes through Prescott, even the second year it started in Prescott. Mm-hmm. Like you've been on these trails a lot and training and everything. So what are these things in training or when you've been on these trails that are so special that you want people to get out when they're experiencing
it?
Yeah,
I think Prescott more than, I mean, I think Arizona in general, like whenever you talk about like outdoor anything with Arizona, like the word that's always used is like diversity, right? So like Arizona has like more diversity than anywhere else. It's like, and that, I think that that's magnified here in Prescott. So like we don't have the best of anything, you know what I mean? Like, of course, like the mountains in Flagstaff are better than they are here or whatever. It's like, but I mean, even on the saddles course, like the 100 mile, like you're running through like spruce and fir, like montane, like up high around like 7,000-8,000 feet. And like through the Ponderosa, like forest, like down into like the high desert of like Granite Basin and, like pinyon juniper. And then like all the slick rock section out in the dells, you run through like riparian areas and creeks and lakes. And it's just like, you kind of hit a bunch of different terrains in a day, mm. you know, which is kind of, which in my opinion is kind of cool. You know, it's like, again, nothing against Flagstaff. Like, I love Flagstaff, you know, and it's like, but, you know, you're running in the forest all day. It's like, you know, so yeah, I just think that just the mix up, the diversity is kind of where it's at of the, and it's nice training here and it's nice running here. Cause like if you know, whatever mood you're in, you can run here every day of the year. It's like, you know, it winter time, you just run like out in the Dells cause it's sunny and exposed and nice. And it's like, so yeah, it's good. And it's a good elevation, you know, Prescott's a mile high and it's kind of surrounded by like 7,000 feet hills, you know? So, yeah, I think it's sort of perfect for all that. And,
Yeah, and that's so cool because a lot of people, when they think of Arizona, they even think of like Flagstaff or like Phoenix, but yeah. It's cool because like Prescott's like right in between, or even Sedona, right? But Prescott's right in between, but you get the best of Flagstaff and you get like the best of Phoenix, yeah. All kind of in one area, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think Prescott too, there's within, I forget what it says, Amanda at the Hike Shack was actually just telling me, it's like, I think within like a 20 mile radius or something, there's over 500 miles of single track.
Oh, wow.
Trail.
Yeah.
So like, it was actually really hard to keep the course at only 100 miles. It was like, like I was constantly having to shave off and cut off and like, so yeah, it's like within city limits, which like we're on the border of city, we're only 10 minutes from town, but we're like on the city, like within the city limits, there's over 200 miles of city of single track trail. Wow. So it's like, it's the sheer amount, like, and we have the city has a whole, like Chris, his whole job is to like hire people and build trails. Mm. And that's like, those are like city positions. So all they do is go around and build trails and number trails. Oh, wow. So like the city's very pro trail. They're very pro, like pro event. They've been great, like working with me. And it's like, yeah. And I think that a lot of that stems actually like from the like equestrian history of Prescott. So like there's always been a shit ton of trails here because of the horses.
Right.
And like most of the like main trails around here are because of like equestrian clubs. Mm-hmm. And then the mountain bike thing exploded and now there's just trails everywhere. And I mean, I still go out. I mean, like I said, I've lived here essentially my whole life, not consistently, but it's like, I can still go out and if I wanted to like find trails I've never been on. And it's like, cause even beyond the like actual numbered official trails, there's so many social trails. And it's like, so it's just one of those things. It's like the trails are better. There's more of them. There's way less people. It's like, the, you know, like Flagstaff, you know, again, I feel like I'm picking on Flagstaff for some reason, but it's like, yeah, like people, when it comes to like outdoor sports, kind of associate that with Flagstaff. And I think people that know Prescott, like they know that what's here and what's great about it. And, but yeah, it's kind of how it's always been.
That's awesome. Now I feel like I need to come and run more in Prescott, like even all the trails that are there. Like I didn't even know too much about it. So it's cool that you're bringing awareness to like the trail culture here, which is amazing.
Well, the runners will see it. I mean, that's actually one of the hard things about putting on this race is that every mile there's a junction. Oh, so like wow. You're running this 100-mile course, but you're right in the middle of this spider web network of trails that go in every direction, like every mile or two. And so like, that's why I'm making the runners carry the course on their phone. Cause there's so many junctions and they're all like, yeah, they all see activity, you know? So it's, yeah, there's a lot of trails here.
Oh man, that's going to be awesome to see too. And like, it's like one of the things where runners are like, oh wow, I'm going to have to like stay focused navigating. But is there like a hope that it like spurs people to come back, not even just to the race, but just to the town and like people to get inspired by that? Like, is that like part of?
Yes and no. I mean, I think big picture, like for big, like town concerns, the city, again, I think it's this town has a problem with sort of leaning into things that I don't really admire. I think, you know, having more of these events happen and like supporting this culture, I think long-term, like clearly is a good thing. Yeah, I mean, like selfishly, do I want all my trails and like climbing areas to be like for me and my friends, you know? like, sure, but it's also like, you know, this isn't Boulder. It's like, right. It's like there's plenty of space here for lots of people. And, yeah, I'd much rather see, I mean, like, you know, this town has a weird kind of thing. It's like, we, you know, we can barely support a bouldering gym, but meanwhile, there's like a dozen vape shops that are like fucking killing it, you know? So it's like, I think that this town could use a little bit of like support and a little more infrastructure and better things than, you know, vape shops and gun shops.
Yeah, so. For sure. And what was super cool was last night I was checking in my hotel at like midnight, but anyone who was checking in was here for the race, which was super cool. And people are coming from all over. So you're creating that environment, which is awesome.
I think even I underestimate, like, even, you know, there's like 110 runners or something, but even I underestimate the sort of impact that can have on a town, a small town on a weekend, because it's not just the runners, you know, it's spectators, it's crew, it's family, it's wives, it's, you know, and so even this first year, I think it's a great thing for the town for sure.
Yeah.
And especially years to come. I mean, I see this, I do have a kind of my ear to the ground and obviously being the race director, you know, and get a sense for certain things. And I do think this race is going to blow up, and it's like, we'll do our best to manage that. But I think that, it's just going to be a great thing for Prescott.
So. Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. And it's so cool to see like people like coming, like just even if they're not racing, like knowing about it, talking about it. People are like, oh, like I hear about the saddles race. Mm-hmm. What is it? So you're building the buzz. And what I loved is in the race manual, you said you're not, well, the race manual is just excellent all around. But the line that stood out to me the most is you said you're not selling a product. You're creating an experience, which like I got chills when I was reading that. What's that experience like you're trying to create for people?
I think sometimes I get a little like overly critical of things. And, you know, I've been running ultras for a long time now. And even in the like 10, 12 years that I've been in the sport, it's like, you know, we all see the changes. We all see the growth. We see the sponsorship. We see Hoka turning into whatever they are at this point. You know, it's like we see Ultra going from this little Utah brand to whatever they've become. You know, it's like Salomon. You know, it's just like so races. And I understand how it happens. I understand why it happens, but. You know, races, a lot of races at this point almost exist as part of marketing departments for certain brands or certain, you know, and it's like, which the, you know, that is, it's like that is like a musician's live show for a company like Salomon, right? Is to like have a race, push product, you know, banner, like every, or it's like, it's just, so many of these races that I go to over the last like few years, it just feels like it's more about the exploiting the market and like drawing out of the market versus contributing to it. And so like, it just feels like I, like, you know, the races that I've always loved or that like stand out in my head that have always been really special to me are the races where it feels like it's a, you know, you can still have companies involved. Like I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like, but it just feels like it's more of a contribution to the culture and not an extraction from. And so many of these bigger races, like, you know, don't know that I need to call any of them out by name, but it's, it just feels like it's more about what they can sell the runners versus actually the experience of the run itself. And so it's like just getting, just for me, like any race, I mean, I can guarantee everyone involved, any race that I'm a part of as far as a race director is like not going to feel like that. So like, I mean, I had like companies reach out and want to be involved in saddles. And I was like, well, if you guys want to give stuff to the runners, like runners love free shit, like that's great. But other than that, like this isn't going to feel like I'm not pushing anything on you. Like that's not what this race is about. Mm-hmm. This race is about coming out and like drawing a line in the sand and saying go, and like, you know, they're glorified group runs, but in today's like kind of running culture, you can't get hundreds of people together unless it's a race, which, you know, is fine. That's totally fine. You know, like I can post like, oh, let's go on a group run. And it's like, well, but, you know, it's just kind of a throwback to the original days of ultra running where it's like, you know, even something like Hard Rock was just a group run for a while. And it's like, so yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, and I think runners, I think people who signed up this inaugural year, like feel that. And that's, I think the type of person that signed up this year, you know, and again, I think that's why inaugural years are so special at every race, you know, and like most typically my best memory at races are always inaugural. I mean, Cocodona, you know, and it's like, I mean, the second and third year, I mean, I still think Cocodona is like the quintessential race, but it's just different second and third years. And, you know, next year is going to be crazy. Like
yeah.
I'm talking with Jamil, you know, and it's like, so I think being a part of this first year, it's going to be, you know, I mean, we do that at Cocodona. Like when you run into other like first year Cocodona runners, there's a little like, you know, like there's a head nod, you know, like you get it. And it's just like, so yeah, I mean, I think this race will change. Saddles will change, you know, change is inevitable, but I've yet to decide how I'm going to allow that change, whether that's a hard cap to keep it shitty or, you know, bringing in people to help out, you know, probably going to be a hard cap.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And I'm excited to see how it evolves. And like the cool thing about this race, like you talk about like creating this, you know, line in the sand and start and go, but this was a race that you created because this is the race you want to run. So like people are getting the full Michael Versteeg experience, which is cool. So like, obviously, like if I ask you like, what is your ideal race, it would be saddles, but talk to me a little bit more, like what were the elements that you said, yes, this is something that would be great for me that, you know, runners can experience like being out there in saddles.
Well, yeah, I think we've hit on a lot of that already, just about, you know, the course and the terrain. But I mean, the biggest thing, I mean, because I this is my town. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's not to say that like I can't design courses other places or, you know, can't do that. But yeah, I mean, just, it's my town. And I mean, even from very early on, like I've been thinking about this race for a decade because it's like this race, this course starting and ending downtown, like you can kind of see downtown for most of the course, like especially at night, like you can see all the city lights.
So cool.
Because Prescott sits in this little basin and the run essentially does a 100-mile loop, like kind of on the rim around town.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like see town the whole time. And, I just feel like it has all the elements to be like the most classic 100-mile race in the country. Like, and I say that, you know, it's not because of me, it's not because of Satisfy, it's just because of the race. And so because of all of that, like I've always known that, like it could be that. So I mean, even like years ago where I was like, well, whether it's me or whether it's Jamil or whether it's somebody, like whoever does that race is like, that's the race. You know what I mean? Like that's the cool race. It's not a contrived route. It's not loops. It's not an out and back. It's like you run 2 miles out of town and you do a 96-mile loop and you come back to town. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's just all the things. And it's like, you know, aid station, all the aid stations are super easily accessible, like crew accessible. There's cell phone service at every aid station. There's like running into town down onto Whiskey Row on a Saturday night at mile 99. And there's like hundreds of, you know, altered adults, you know, it's just, not to say that it will or that, you know, or I don't know what it's going to become, but as far as like spectatorship, like, you know, crewing, participation, like it just has all the things. Like I'm actually jealous of the people like volunteering and working the event because like that seems the most fun.
Yeah.
Like to be totally honest, like at this race, because you're totally connected the whole time. And, yeah, and I don't give a shit about like rules, like if crew wants to like follow their runner around, like if they want to hop in and run sections, like, you know, run with your dog. Like, I don't care about your fucking dog. Like, run with your, like, you know, it's a, it's like, I keep getting all these emails about like stuff. And it's like, I don't care. Like, why would I care about that? I don't know. So anyways, yeah, like this race is like, no, like participate with the town. Like if you see other runners and they want to drink a beer with you on the trail, it's like, do it. Mm. Like there's no rules. Like that's another thing, like ultra runner, like, you know, like people, like Jamil was telling me how many emails he got from people calling to disqualify me that first year at Cocodona.
Oh yeah.
Because like one, I was on mushrooms like for the first day. And then like two, I was drinking beer with people. I was like meeting people out on the trail and like do it. And I like, even like on downtown Flagstaff, I like gave my poles to my runner. And it's just like, God, all these fucking rules, you know? Right. It's like, which I get if you're like UTMB, like this is not UTMB. Like this is like, you know, this is not Leadville. Like embrace the community, like interact, talk to people. If somebody wants to like give you a slice of watermelon and you're not at an aid station, like eat the fucking watermelon. It's like, you know, like stop at the gas station, get a corn dog and a slushie. It's like, do everything that you can, like be a part of the town, jump in the lakes. You know, unintentionally, this course hits every lake in town. It's like Goldwater, Lynx Lake, Watson Lake, Willow Lake, Granite Basin Lake, like jump in the lakes, go swimming, like do whatever, like go to Denny's and get some French toast. Like, I don't care. It's like, do whatever you want. It's like, oh, I mean, run the course, you know, run the right course. But other than that, like, I don't care. It's like
you're bringing that group, like you were talking about, it's almost like a big group run. You're bringing the group run element and marrying it with that race aspect that brings everyone together. Because I think like the race aspect, I agree with you, can get too rigid and just here are the rules. Whereas like a group run's usually like, yeah, like fuck it, let's just go out, have fun and drink beers. Yeah,
it's also like with 100 runners, like how many of those guys are like, you know, yeah, I mean, if you're one of those guys that wants to take it super seriously, like go for it. But you're like two or three guys or gals, you know, like everyone else is just out there to like for the experience and to do it. And that's like, that's what this race is geared to. Like, I don't give a shit who wins saddles, like whatever. Great. Like, you know, I think it's cool if you win, like obviously that's a cool thing. Like, but it's just like, Everyone out there is doing the same thing, you know? So it's like, yeah, do it however you want to do it. If that's like running it as hard as you can and like, then great.
Yeah. Like it's not like meant to celebrate winners.
Hours. Like do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like you're not trying to like make this a thing to like celebrate like high performance or winners. It's like celebrating runners. Correct.
I mean, I think you can do both. I mean, I think you can celebrate the winners and say good job, you know, but you know, this race is about this race and this course and this experience. And that's a whole nother thing about like races. It seems, sorry.
No, go for it.
it seems like a lot of these races these days are all about like you show up and that race is about qualifying for something else. Right. Like every race you show up to is like, oh, well, I'm here to qualify for this race. I'm here to do that. Like, it's very rare that people are actually showing up for a race, like for that race. And it's like, this race is not a qualifier for any other race. Like if you run saddles, you're here to run saddles. Like I'm not going to get on my knees for UTMB to like try and make my race to get like this race is never going to have stones, whatever the fuck stones are, you know, and there's not a qualifier for this race. Like, I don't like, I'll never require you to like run one of my other races to get into this race. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, no, this race is about this race. Like if you're running saddles, this is what you're here for. You're not here to qualify for some other run down the line. Like, experience fucking today, man.
So, you know, good.
It's like, so that's a big thing about saddles is like you're that's what we're doing. We're doing saddles. We're not doing another race, you know.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to take a quick break in this episode because I partnered with a company recently that has just been a game changer when it comes to clothing and apparel that I'm wearing on my long runs. And the one thing that I get frustrated with when it comes to running gear or apparel in general is when it doesn't last long. Whether it rips, tears, or just wears away, it sucks to have to keep buying new stuff. Plus, doing that isn't sustainable for the planet. But I recently started trying this gear that lasts long, has a 5-year guarantee, is super comfortable, has extremely fun colors, which is so important, right? And helps to support clean water programs around the world. The gear is from John G, and you gotta check them out. They make high performance running apparel such as shorts, tanks, shirts, jackets, and more, all built to explore the world on the run. Not only do they have a 5-year guarantee where they will replace any product that wears away, but their stuff is super comfortable, breathable, and easy to move in, especially in the winter months when you're bundled up a ton. Plus, 2% of their sales go towards nonprofits working on viable clean water solutions, so it's a way to give back and feel good about where your money is going. They have super bright colors and artwork designed by talented artists all across the world, so you'll stand out on the trail, which is, like I said, one of the most important things. My favorite products have been the Transit Tech Short and the Run All Day Tee. I like the Transit Shorts because they're lightweight, easy to move on my runs, especially when I'm climbing hills or doing faster efforts, because they don't have a liner. And when you don't have a liner, I feel like you can move around a lot better when it comes to doing these faster efforts on the trail. And I love the Run All Day Tee because it feels like you're barely wearing anything out there, which keeps you really, really cool on a hot day and doesn't feel like you're overwhelmed on a cold day as well. So it feels like you're not wearing anything that's holding you down. So I 100% suggest you try out John G's clothing. And if you're looking to test drive it, you can get 10% off your order when you use the code EverydayUltra at checkout at johng.com. That's spelled JANJI.com. Or you can go to the link in the show notes directly. Use code EverydayUltra to get 10% off your order. And if you're rocking John G in your next adventure, let me know and hope you give them a shot. Go to johng.com and use code EverydayUltra. All right, everybody, let's get right back into this episode here.
So good. And I got chills when you're saying that because so many times, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not saying I'm like perfect, but it's like I'm doing this race to qualify for Western or yeah. UTMB, but it's like you're not doing the race just to do it. You're doing it to just check a box, which.
You're like even fucking Leadville. Like, God, dude, like I don't want to run one of your other shitty races to like get into your race. Like right. I just want to, if I want to run Leadville, that's the race I want to run. Like it's just shitty. It's like business. It's like, oh, well, you have to run, like UTMB, you have to run, you know, 2 to 3 of our other races and give us money to even be able to qualify for our big race. And it's like, well, I don't want to run your shitty other races. I just want to run UTMB. It's like, I don't know. I think I've said enough about that.
No, that's great, man. No, but I love it because it's like returning to the integrity of the actual race itself. And you get people who are present. Like, I think you touched on like that word presence. Is so important, especially in a world where, you know, there's notifications and internet and pings. And it's like, sometimes we can lose that essence of being present. And I think even just that essence of doing the race to do the race brings that back to the experience, which is something that I feel like can be so easily removed in this commercialized and digitalized world, you know, like you kind of bring back to the roots of what life's experience
is. Which is like, kind of silly that we need to do that, right? But it's like, oh, thanks. Fucking slob.
Yeah, I love that, man. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is, like, I love how this is, like, the dream race for you. It's kind of bringing in the elements, all of you, too. But the cool thing is, like, you've had this, like, idea for, like, 10 years, which is so awesome. And I think so many people... who are in the ultra world are like, I would love to have like this race. Like, why did you decide to put it into action? Because like, I think almost you ask anyone in the ultra community, they can probably say, yeah, like I'd love to put on a race, but far and few between like execute on it. So like what?
Well, I think it was actually Satisfy. I think Satisfy were the ones that were, the ones that sort of instigated like the pushing me to actually do it versus just talk about it. And I think just like having that sort of support and knowing that support would be there.
Yeah.
Also just like sort of feeling like I'm an aging ultra runner and like, you know, how long I'm really going to participate in the sport in like a competitive manner or like in a, not a competitive manner, but just like, just like sort of it, whatever I've done in ultra, like how long I'm going to like continue to do that and like still wanting to be a part of like ultra running in whatever way. And, you know, I think that's a trope a little bit of like the aging ultra runner, like moving into the race directing thing. And so there was a little bit of that, I think. But also I just like, I didn't see it happening. And if I did see it happening, it wasn't exactly how I thought it should be. You know, and I think that, you know, for a long time, I've been sort of Prescott's like resident ultra runner, you know, and I felt like I was, if it was going to be done and if it was going to be done right, like, I think it makes sense that I'm the one doing it, for if I can like set humility aside for a second and say that, you know what I mean?
100%.
It's like, it just like, it just like, it feels like I should be the one to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. It's like, if there's a 100-mile classic ultra in Prescott, Arizona, like that should be me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel like that's like kind of maybe a cocky thing to say. Oh. And like, it feels weird to say that a little bit, but it's like, there's just a part of that that felt that way. So, yeah, for better or for worse, to be honest, because I'm not a good race director. I mean, I think I'm a good like wealth of resources.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people and I have a lot of connections and I've brought in a lot of people to help.
Mm-hmm.
Even beside, you know, behind the scenes, like I work for a race company in Utah, you know, like I'm obviously close and friends with Aravipa and they're both like shadow supporting this event like crazy for no gain of their own.
Mm.
You know, both Vacation Races and Aravipa are supporting this event.
Wow.
Heavily.
That's so cool.
And no one knows that. And they're not advertising it. It's through no gain of their own. They just want to see this event succeed and they want to see me succeed. And it's like, and Satisfy, you know what I mean? Satisfy taking over so many of the things and making it special, like Satisfy does, and making it unique and making it different and making it cool. Like, so again, I'm not good at any of that, you know what I mean? But like, I am good at bringing all of those people together and making this event a super cool event. And, so yeah, it's like, I don't remember what the question was.
Oh no, but it was, I think we were talking about like why you put it into action, but I love, and I totally 100% agree with you. I think if there was someone to put on this race, it would be you. And the cool thing, I know you mentioned earlier, like the race isn't about you, but you have drawn so many people to experience like not only Sal's 100, but Michael Versteeg's race. Like that's
a
draw.
I think it was a way, I think using sort of my reputation as a way to like, again, I don't know how, like this first year, the race is going to be a successful event.
For sure.
You know, and not that many races have that first year.
Yeah.
You know, usually that takes a few years to like, to build that up. And I think that has to do with, you know, the fact that I'm able to exploit my reputation as an ultra runner and like sort of, you know, and all of us ultra runners, like, you know, we all know each other. So it's like, it's not like some random, like Iron Man dude coming in and like trying to put on a 100-mile race. It's like, I know everybody. So it's like, I can invite all my friends who are ultra runners to like come run the race. You know, and it's like, I know all these people that work at all these companies. And it's like, you know, if I need support for something, it's like, I just ask and they're like, yeah, of course. And it's like, it's just, so it's, I think I've been able to turn my success as an ultra runner into a successful event because of those things of just being that sort of plugged in, you know? And, yeah, I think it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it creates a good impact. I mean, it just shows like the contribution you've had to the ultra running world. I mean, like, I know just being local in Arizona, like I've taken a lot of inspiration from you. Like even David and I were talking, like he was talking about how inspiring you've been. And I know that's been like a thing for runners. And so to see like people wanting to come in and help and wanting to participate in the race, like shows, you know, your impact on the community, which is like super cool to see that kind of all coming together tomorrow for the 100-mile race, which is special.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a huge part of ultra running and running in general that doesn't fit that sort of like classic mold of training or what a runner's supposed to look like or what a runner's supposed to be. You know, like I still cringe when people call me an athlete. You know what I mean? Like I grew up my whole life like in bands and skateboarding, and like I don't really associate myself as like your prototypical athlete. And so it's like, you know, I didn't run in college. I didn't run in high school. It's like, and so there's just, and I say all of that to say that there's just like, there's a huge market out there, and or not market. I don't want to use that word. There's just like, there's so many of us don't identify with sort of the like typical runner, like Nike trail runner or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, and I think that, I think that's why I've had some success, is because like people kind of identify that in me as like, I don't necessarily represent a lot of the same things that other, you know, professional athletes do. And like, you can be anything, you can, you know, you can look however you want, you can do anything. Like you don't, it's a great thing about ultra running is like, you don't need anything, like go to the thrift store and buy a shitty pair of shorts and shoes and like go running. And it's just like, and so there are all these reasons where it's just like, I think because of those same things that people identify in me as just an ultra runner, I think that they realize I'm going to bring that to my race. And it's like, it's going to feel like that. I don't know why like that feeling and that aesthetic is so important, but it is, right? It's like, that's all. And I mean, 99% of running 100 miles is actually just running the 100 miles. But that other 1% of like feeling and community and like intent, I don't know why like intent matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, and it's like what you said about the race manual, the intent here is the experience. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love that. And I think that's what draws people, is they want that. And again, like in a world where everything's getting so noisy and everything's just a stepping stone, pun totally intended, for the next thing. Like I think people want to experience that. And that's why you're seeing 100 people coming in and racing this race and wanting to be a part of it. And even just thinking about it next year, which is super, super cool to see.
Well, I think too, with races, we get like focused in on this thing, and like there was a lot of pressure for me, like the number of emails I got and requests I got to like open a 50K.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and it's like, well, just run 50K. Like stop 50K. Like do whatever you want. Or like so many people, like I have a lot of like friends, local runners in town that like, you know, don't want to, like they don't know if they can run 50 miles or they don't know if they can run 100 miles. And it's like, well, don't.
Mm.
Like show up and run whatever you want. Show up and run mile 40 through 60, you know, and like, we'll give you a ride back. It's like, it doesn't like we get so caught up in like the rules and like the rigidness around races about like, again, going back to what we were saying about following all the rules, but like, yes, there's a 50 and 100 mile, but that's just for like sake of like, I have to have an ultra sign up page and like, I have to click distances, you know what I mean? But like, show up and do whatever you want. Like show up and run 20 miles on Saturday and then go to sleep and then go do the 80 through 100 on Sunday. Like, I don't care. Like this experience is whatever you want to make it. Like, yes, we'll have the race stuff. Yes, we'll have the 100 mile and like, we'll have all the things and we'll give you your finisher thing or whatever, you know, and your t-shirt and a high five. And, but like, do whatever you want. Like this, the Saddles is not my, I can't tell you what Saddles is. Like, I can't force anything on you, but you can do whatever you want. And so it's like that, that's what I envision, is like a few hundred people showing up and like running what they want to run. And like, yeah.
I love that, man. That is so awesome. I might have to hop on the course tomorrow now and do a 40 to 60.
I don't care. Like you can all run, like run 10 miles, like run the first 10 miles or run the last 10 miles. Run the last 10 miles, because it's like you run into town.
Super cool.
It's like people, I keep getting questions like that. Or like, oh, I was thinking about running the last mile, like through town on my runner. Like, is that okay? Yes, that's okay. It'd be totally fine. maybe don't like invite 20 people and like chow down on my aid stations, but you know what I mean? But yeah. It's like, other than that, it's like, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. 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 Tell us a little bit. We were talking so much about the race, but yeah, like I'd love to round it out with how you got into ultra running, your background.
Yeah.
I think we got like 10 minutes or so. Yeah.
How I got into ultra running. I've always been sort of an outdoorsy guy, and you know, I was way more into like kind of the mountaineering side of climbing mountains and, mm-hmm. and just rock climbing. Like I've been a rock climber a lot longer than I've been a runner. And so even with like a lot of my climbing stuff, whether it be like, let's say like the Grand Teton's a great example where it's like, yes, you can like climb that in like expedition style, but you can also just run up and down it. And mm-hmm. It's like not that big of a deal. So like even in those days before I was like a quote unquote runner, I always sort of gravitated towards just like, you know, just going light and fast and doing stuff that way. So when I started ultra running, or when I started running, I guess was like 2012, I say. And I want to say I went on like my first like run, you know, ever. And then that same year I like ran the Stagecoach 100. So but it wasn't like I was like out of shape.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't like I was one of these people who like, you know, that had to do that. It was like I was very fit and already kind of doing that. I just wasn't calling it running before that. So my background is very much like the mountain sports, kind of like evolving into trail running type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then like you start running, you're like, oh yeah, like let's go do a 50K at a race. And it's like, oh, you like do pretty well at the 50K. And then you're like, you do another race. And it's like, oh, I won the race. And then it's like, oh, I'm like pretty good at this. And it's like, I think human beings gravitate towards things that they're good at. Right. Mm-hmm. And it like, it feels good. It's like, and then you start like getting attention for things, and then you sponsor, and blah, 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 you know, and it just sort of like snowballs, and it's like, oh, like I'm an ultra runner, you know, or whatever. And then like, especially for people that don't know me, like that's like people that only so like know me from online, like mm-hmm. Instagram or something like that. Like I don't use Instagram for my personal life. Mm-hmm. Like I don't ever share anything about my personal life online. Like I have those things because of contractual obligations, you know what I mean? Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. And so people, even though like ultra running and trail running is like a thing that I do, I don't really identify that way. It's like, I do a lot of things, and like, it's certainly something that I do. Well, that's not really fair. I mean, it's also how I kind of make a living, but it's like, that's all I ever talk about on social media. So it's like, so I understand people identifying me as like a trail runner or an ultra runner. And it's like, which is totally fine. No problems with that at all. But it's like, yeah, it evolved out of the sort of, and I feel like that's true of like a lot of ultra runners. Like there's sort of, at this point in American ultra running, at least there's sort of two backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There's either like the mountain sports background, or there's like the college running, like the real athletes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it seems like as the sports evolving, those like dirt bag sort of mountain sport athletes are like the days of showing up and winning races as like this like dirt bag trail runner are sort of going away. Yeah. But there's still a market for it a little bit. It's like you can, you know, I feel like we're like guys like me are sort of gravitating towards like the longer stuff, because those college kids don't want to run the longer stuff.
Right. They have to show
up. Like I'm not ever going to like show up to, well, you know, I don't know, any of those fast races. Like, I'm never ever going to show up to Lake Sonoma and like compete. Mm. You're like, that's not my fucking game.
Yeah.
But if you want to run through 3 days through the desert, you know, there's still like, there's still a little like niche for us a little bit, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, that was great, man. That was great. And I guess like to cap it all off, like you mentioned not being like
I'm there's allowed more to swear in this, right? Cause I've been swearing a lot.
Oh yeah. Just okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah. But okay. for the last kind of thing to round it out, what is something about like Michael Versteeg that people maybe don't know, like that really defines you, but maybe isn't as well known to the people who follow you along on social and the internet and everything?
Yeah. I feel like it's funny because I've brought up the social media thing to sound effect because I'm awful at social media, right? Like I'm just bad at it. Like I don't share, I don't do things. And it's like, so I've brought that up to satisfy about like, hey, like, do you guys want to take this over? Like, do we need to hire somebody? And they're constantly just like, no, like you're good. And I think the not posting stuff and not sharing stuff, I think there's an allure there that like satisfies trying to tap into. But at least for like me and my wife, like when we talk about it, it's like, well, if people actually knew like how I was, like, like the reputation that I have versus like who I am, like, you know, like, cause you want to know what I think about all day. Like I fantasize about being on the Enterprise with like Jordy LaForge and Data, and like being in the engineering department and like figuring shit out. Like that's what I fantasize about, or the fact that like, you know, like I'm reading the Silmarillion for like the third time, you know, or like things like that. Or like I'm obsessed with Lord of the Rings, or nice. Like, cause I'm actually a fucking dork, dude. Like, so I think satisfies like, no, you don't need to share stuff. They're like, just let people keep thinking that you're like whatever people think you are or whatever. But yeah, I'm also like, you know, fairly domesticated in my life at this point. Like I have a house. I just had a baby. I have a 3-month-old baby.
Congrats. Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. She's in the house right now. It's like, I have a family and dogs and a house and that sort of wild roaming man that I maybe once was in my life is pretty much over with. And, I mean, I still do plenty of stuff, but it's just like, yeah, like I don't think, and you know, why would anyone know about my personal life? Like I don't share details with anybody. So, but yeah, I think that's a big misconception about me. You know,
They think it's like all about running, but it's so much more. It's Lord of the Rings and family and, you know, being like someone just beyond just the runner, it's the whole person. And what's super cool is like, I feel like with saddles, that's what you're trying to also like encapsulate. It's like, sure, it's about the running experience, but it's about presence, about intent, like you said, it's about life. And I think that's what's drawn people.
It's like with the fires, so the Forest Service lit the first 10 miles of my course on fire a few days ago.
Oh geez.
So we've been dealing with that, but I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna tell all the runners to like just pretend like it's like the last flight of Frodo through Mordor, like climbing Mount Doom. And it's like yeah, it'll be fine.
So epic. Oh wow, that is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. Well, Michael, this is great, man. Appreciate you. Thanks. This is and best wishes for this weekend. It's gonna be amazing.
Sorry for swearing so much. I'm an awful person.